Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Hiya, Damon.
And Mark Medina.
I'm here, Damon. Death Stranding 2. Let's go, baby.
Yep, and as soon as Death Stranding 2 came on that Sony State of Play, I was like, we got to get Mark on this episode. We'll be talking about, we got a great show for you this week. A really good State of Play, in my opinion, aired yesterday, with lots of games that I want to play. We'll talk about that. And then I've also started playing both Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and Tekken 8. I can share some thoughts on that. But first, Justin, what's going on with IGN Plus right now? I hear there's some sort of fabulous deal if you sign up for IGN Plus.
Oh, man, it's so what great timing for you to ask, Damon. If you don't know, IGN Plus is our premium subscription service. As IGN employees, we get it for free. It's actually super nice. It makes our game guides even better. You get a lot of use out of them. You get to browse IGN ad-free. But we also give away free games, free Steam keys, and we are giving away a Steam key to Hellcard right now, which, Damon, I was not super familiar with this game ahead of time, but I've been doing some research on it. It looks like a Damie game and a Justin game.
Okay.
Hellcard is sort of like Slay the Spire. You have a deck of cards, but then it's like tactical combat, like top-down tactical combat, and your cards let you cast different spells and do stuff like that. So
it's just out today, actually, and the reviews on Steam are very positive.
Mm-hmm. Remember how we used to give away codes by just saying them on the air, and then some lucky person would put them in?
Yep.
That was 10 years ago or so.
I know. I missed
time
that.
Was.
We so rarely like get codes like that to give away anymore, but that was always fun. Mm-hmm. Or it was always fun to post them with not post the final character, and just everyone had to try and guess what the final character was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is Hellcard that we're seeing here. Yours for free if you are on IGN Plus. Okay. Sony State of Play, first one of the year. I thought this was a good one. How did everyone else feel about this?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was great.
All right. Well, we're in agreement there.
Well, I mean, Death Stranding Death Stranding 2 is now my most anticipated game, period.
Wow.
The little hands that wrap around. It's like no one else on earth but Kojima would ever even attempt and would dream up something like that.
I want little hands like that to feed me Cheetos while I play video games.
Yeah, it's helping her smoke cigarettes and stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that trailer was just full of bullshit, and I love it for that. But honestly, as soon as I saw it, just this little guy with a backpack trying to scrabble up a wall and go on a trek across the desert. I love Death Stranding. I love that game. I love the walking simulation. I'm here for it. I want more of that.
I thought you were talking about the little man, the little marionette man that's animated on the half steps.
It's part of the bullshit. I love it. I love the animation on that without the cells. It was great. But I want to play the game. I want to truck stupid stuff to people and say hi to them and run away. I love it.
My favorite thing in the favorite comment, I don't remember who tweeted it, so I unfortunately can't credit them, but it was it was Troy Baker in the Joker makeup with the guitar gun, and they're like, oh good, I was worried Death Stranding 2 would be normal.
This scene is so
definitely not.
This scene is so awesome. I only played a little of Death Stranding. Is this character in the first game?
Yeah, it's the main antagonist.
Oh my, I had no idea. This is so cool, and I'm just guessing that it's Troy Baker, right?
It is. Yeah. He didn't look like that, though. He didn't have clown makeup on. Mm-hmm. He had a mask on, and then eventually he takes it off, and guess what? He looks exactly like Troy Baker.
Was he the army man that you fight in the Vietnam part?
No, that's what's his name. That's Mads Mikkelsen.
That's right. That was Mads. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say, the characters and stuff are basically in one ear out the other for Death Stranding for me, but I enjoyed it all. I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I thought it was corny as hell and really funny and stupid and weird. I loved it. Love everything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This trailer, you get to see Fragile. You get to hear Guillermo del Toro's character, and then Higgs. But I was most excited. We Elle Fanning was like, her pictures of her were the ones that revealed that this game was even happening. But they haven't shown her yet, and they finally showed her in this trailer, and I was very happy because I love
it. It was just her though, right? Just straight up, she's not. It's like the Margaret Qualley character, right? It's just like a complete reproduction of her.
Yeah. You see her at the end. She's the blonde lady, and it's just Elle Fanning. I assume she's a grown up BB.
That's your speculation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I also speculate that she'll eventually become the playable character because up until now, Sam's hair has been gray. This is, now we're seeing it. He's looking more normal. So I think everything in this trailer is probably the first couple hours.
What about the blue people, though?
I don't know why they're avatar. I don't know why they're Nappies. At one point, I thought it was like, is this Kojima being like, hey guys, I really want to show this game, but it's not fully rendered yet. But no, in the next scene, they're rendered. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Hair looks so good in this. Just watch the trailer again if you haven't yet and watch people's hair. It is unbelievable. I can't believe that stuff.
Graphics are just crazy. We're getting this is the first PS5 only game using the Decima engine because Horizon Forbidden West still had to run on PS4. And so this game's going to look insane. The environments look crazy. They look so good.
And the older gentleman that we
Why are they blue?
Why are they blue?
The older gentleman we see is director George Miller's face, director of Mad Max and Fury Road and many other movies, but he's not doing the performance. They just scanned his face into the game, which is, it's just a little strange. It's just like, Kojima's like, I want George Miller but it's just his appearance.
So in the first game, Guillermo del Toro's in the game, but that's not him. He's just face scanned. The guy who directed that movie, I mean, just done a lot, but it's like Her and Drive. Nicholas Winding Refn, he's also face scanned, but it's not him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it.
So he's just continuing. The same with the puppet. The puppet is like a French director, but he's just face scanned.
And then Alan Wake too did that.
Yeah. I want to get to a point in my career where I'm like, okay, look, I want a puppet and I want it animated on the twos, and then I want George Miller's face, but not his voice.
Yeah.
Face only. And then everyone, and then like there's a team of people furiously taking notes, and they're like, yes. Yeah. Understood.
I love that the puppet runs at like 5 frames a second.
Yeah,
it's great. So good. I also love that he puts him on he does the Mimir from God of War. He goes to put him on his like back, and then the puppet's like, no, I don't want to do this. And he puts him on the front.
And then that puppet's 100% there so that when you're in the wilderness, juggling all these boxes around and the game's all boring, it's just going to be telling you stuff the whole time. Like, it's awesome.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, I love the setting too. I mean, I know they're like doing Iceland and Mexico instead of Iceland and America now. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. I loved the presentation. I love this extended trailer, whatever you want to call it. I'll check it out. I only played a couple hours of the first one, like I said, but it wasn't because I hated it. Just like something else came out and I switched over and never went back to it. So I'll check this out. Go ahead.
It's a very digestible story if you wanted to just watch like a story so far. Like the story, while it seems very like complicated, it's really not.
Don't watch a story so far. That is so the wrong way to approach this game.
Okay, fine, Damon. Play 45 hours of Death Stranding.
That's what you should do. And I recommend skipping the story. Those are your two options.
I guess you have time because I.
No, I like the story in it though. I thought it was really fun to watch.
The black slime cat.
Yeah.
Cat. With the wings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really hoping for 2024.
Look how good that looks. Good this looks.
It really does.
It's so awesome. I don't want stuff in my game. I want this.
Yeah.
Mark, is this also your most anticipated game now?
I probably like. I love Death Stranding 1 so much that the entire time I had that stress of being like, this is going to be 2024. It's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then about halfway through, I was like, maybe it's not though.
Yeah.
And then I kind of convinced myself to not be disappointed. it might be come out the same day as Grand Theft Auto 6. So we'll have to see.
Oh my god, I know
how busy it is.
And like Nintendo's got to have some kind of games in the future too. Maybe they'll come out the same day as well.
I love this scene so much. I can watch this one over and over. That's not the only Kojima news we got. He's making some kind of a... His next game after this will be a spiritual successor to Metal Gear Solid.
Action. Or maybe it's Fizzent.
Fizzent, yeah. That's the working title. Fizzent. Yeah, I mean, that sounds awesome to me. Like, we just make another Metal Gear.
Announced PS6 game.
Yeah, maybe, dude. No kidding. If anyone else on Earth was like, no, look, it's going to be a game and a movie and it's going to be fashion and music. Anyone else, I'd be like, but then Kojima, I'm like, okay, all right. Like, okay, I'm on board. Like, that all makes sense. Like, I believe in you.
Can you believe Iga Igarashi and now Hideo Kojima have both taken their toys and went home successfully? Yeah. They're just like, okay, Konami, if you don't want to publish our incredibly popular fan beloved series and give us our creative freedom to do so, then we'll just go make them somewhere else. And here they are doing it. It's completely insane that like we're not getting, you know, Metal Gears and Castlevanias because their creators went elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of,
I just don't know how he has time because he's talking about Death Stranding 2, which will launch probably late 2025, probably at least towards, you know, closer to summer, fall. And then he's going to start work on Fizzent, but he's also working on Overdose for Xbox, which of course they couldn't talk about in the state of play. Yep, yep. So he didn't get to give any sort of time frame as to like where Fizzent fits in with that. And that's why I wholeheartedly believe that Fizzent is a PS6 game, because I just don't see how it would make PS5.
He did say, like, they're pretty explicit that, like, you know, look, he's going to work on this game after Death Stranding, right? Like, right. You know, yeah. Like,
he's going to begin production after Death Stranding.
Yeah. So then I don't think he's probably working, like, you know, like Overdose is like, I almost said the B team, which is pejorative, but like, it's probably not, it's a different team within, you know, within Kojima Productions is the vibe that I get.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
He said, Kojima said, in 2 years, it'll be his the 40th anniversary of his career in game development, and that he thinks this project Fizzent will represent the culmination of his work. I don't know. Yeah, a game and a movie. His Twitter bio says he makes games, but his body is 70% movies. You know, he's wanted to make a movie forever. So I mean, like, is it going to be something like Quantum?
Wait,
Break?
You said it's his 45th anniversary in making games.
40th, 40 in 2 years.
So he started in So that would be 87.
Well, because what? He made the first Metal Gear, not the Nintendo one, the other.
MSX.
Whatever.
It was on the MSX. But it would have been 80, you know, 86-ish.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, 86.
Man. They're also making a Death Stranding movie, so I'm wondering how, like, involved with that. And if they want fan casting for Sam Porter Bridges, I have the perfect person to play him. It looks almost just like him.
Well, Death Stranding 2 does look great, but another game that I think looks amazing is Stellar Blade. I just like it's like one of the best looking games I've ever seen. And that's coming out April 26th. And I thought the so it's like a character action game. It's gonna be a mixture of combat but also exploration, probably some like 3D platforming because it's very kinetic, lots of like fast traversal stuff. You get a double jump. But I think the story description is very on the nose and also very familiar sounding. So, in the near future, humanity is driven from the Earth after losing a war against alien invaders called Nativa. To reclaim the Earth, the protagonist, Eve, and her squad are deployed from the colony to fight the Nativa and take back Earth. Eventually, Eve meets a survivor named Adam, who leads her to Zion. The last surviving human city on Earth is also the plot of The Matrix. Eve then makes contact with the elder Orkel and establishes relationships with the residents of Zion in order to further her mission to save Earth. And also the residents of Zion call Eve the Angel. So all very on the nose and very ripped from The Matrix.
But also like near Automata as well, like in style kind of premise.
Yeah, of course.
That was almost an ESRB description, but at the end it would be like, butts are exposed as swears.
Partial buttocks are exposed.
Character makes crude comment.
I think it looks. I think it looks fun. I'm into it.
It looks super good. This is also being published by Sony. So like, Sony. Yeah. I mean, that tells me that Sony believes in this game.
Yeah, Sony has a weird year this year because it's like, as far as we know, there's like no first party right now. But when you look at the landscape of what's coming, it's like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Helldivers, which they're publishing Helldivers, and then they're publishing this game as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's packed. Just what are their studios working on?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point I wanted to bring up. There's also Rise of the Ronin, which is a console exclusive for them. I also think looks really cool. I saw a lot of people saying it looked bad or something, but man, that looks, maybe Jobber can bring up some Rise of the Ronin here, but it's like a 3D action adventure like Assassin's Creed or like Ghost of Tsushima. I think it looks awesome.
It looks like a high frame rate PS3 game though. It's like,
oh, a PS3
I think Mitchell
game.
Was saying,
wow.
Mitchell was saying like it looks very Team Ninja.
Yeah.
Like, which I think makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like this stuff looks better, but once it's on the ground, it's like very gray.
It is
and
very
it's
gray.
Very high frame rate and it's like a little bit low on the res. Like there's just some texture low stuff and the characters I think, you know, move really nice and everything, but like, you know, I don't know. I watch this on a big screen. The detail is not there compared to, I mean, when we just came out of Death Stranding and stuff like that, just like it doesn't compare well.
It's got that like open world Neo kind of vibes. It's not Team Ninja, but it's like it does kind of look like that. It's not very much a Mark game because it's more of a Souls game than like Ghost of Tsushima is, and I'm not great at those.
But like everything we're seeing here,
it looks difficult.
Like this looks fun to me. Just, you know, sneaking around.
Yeah.
Infiltrating.
What the heck?
Quote unquote outposts. I don't know.
I like how fast it is. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have that slow Dark Souls roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and his whip, I mean, it looks like Sekiro. And yeah, I don't know. It's too packed right now for me to want to play this game, but I'm sure that I don't want to sound down on it. I'm sure it's people are going to love it.
Yeah, but it is interesting, as you're saying, Mark, we have no idea what the next first party PlayStation game is going to be or when it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just an unusual place to be in. Like,
They don't really need them in the first half of this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's been those rumors for a long time, and it could just be a Twitter thing about the secret showcase, which is like when they were in the heated Activision battle between, you know, Xbox and PlayStation. The showcase that they did, as we all know, was like very underwhelming. And the idea was like, well, they meant to, they have to do one for shareholders, but they kept it underwhelming because they don't want to show the good stuff yet during that trial. Well, the trial's over. They own Activision. So now they can show their stuff. And then they do a state of play and they don't show anything. So like show anything as far as first party goes. So it's very strange what's happening. I fully expected one more thing in it to be Ghost of Tsushima 2, because that game, like, by all accounts, should be nearing completion. The first one came out in 2018.
No, there's no way. 2020?
Oh, Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah.
2020. That's probably what I'm thinking.
But still, 4 years.
Oh, I'm thinking of God of War. My bad.
Yeah. God of War was 2018.
So it's still a long time.
So what we're looking at in terms of, like, exclusives on PS5 and Xbox this year. You've got on PS5 in February of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, in March you have Rise of the Ronin, and then in April you've got Stellar Blade. Then on Xbox in May you've got Hellblade 2, Stalker 2 is in September, and then Indiana Jones and Avowed at some point this year too. So it's like, it's just they've totally flipped. PS5 has all third-party exclusives, and Xbox has first-party exclusives.
Good video games.
But I want to play.
It just sounds like a great year for gaming to me.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I also want to shout out, we got a longer look at Judas, which is Ken Levine's new game. The creator of BioShock, like in System Shock back in the day, like looks just like it, right? Yeah. Like, but in the best possible way. Like, you know, I just that kind of first person, I'm not even quite sure how to describe them, like, but just
like psychological shooters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heavy on atmosphere,
powers in your hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's eyes are a little bit big.
And like, so there's definitely there's a little bit of an element of like going back to the well, right? Like this is just Ken Levine's thing. But look, like I definitely give that stuff a pass. Because we're not getting BioShock games anymore. Like 2K kind of fumbled it a little bit. And so I'm glad that someone is still here carrying that torch. And so this instantly shot the game way up my most anticipated list.
Nice.
Yeah, I think this looks awesome. It is just a little ironic, though, that like Ken Levine, you know, after BioShock Infinite, which is 11 years old now, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he left Irrational of his own free will, or like what happened to Irrational Games after BioShock Infinite. I don't remember.
Nobody knows.
Okay. Anyway, he went on to start a new studio, and it was a smaller team, and supposedly he was going to work on smaller projects. But then here we are 11 years later, and he's just back to making another BioShock.
There was, I don't even want to say this out loud because I might be misremembering, but they worked on, I can't remember if it came out or if they worked on it, but they worked on something for years that was more experimental, and it was like procedural storytelling and you know, sort of like stuff like that. And I remember seeing some design docs, like GDC presentations about it. And so, you know, again, I don't know the context of like, is that project still around or did it not pan out? But you're right. They're just like, nah, let's just make BioShock again. But that's fine. It looks awesome.
And his studio is called Ghost Story Games, I believe. But they're owned by 2K, which also owns BioShock. And they're supposedly working on another BioShock. So I don't know. It's just... It's all under the same roof.
I didn't know that there was that 2K ownership component. That's weird. It's like, just let him make a BioShock game.
Exactly.
Right. Or maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe it's like, maybe he won't, you know, like who knows? He's like, you know, there's definitely an element of like, I said what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember how like BioShock was revealed as a series of mechanics? It was like, this is a persistent universe. And like these big daddies and little sisters will like crawl out and do things. You won't be able to beat the big daddies at first, but here's some ways to beat puzzles and stuff. Like that is kind of what I hope his legacy is like these like shooters where you really have to think a whole lot. And like, I don't really like, you know, I can't really tell what this game is from what I'm seeing here. Like that should be what it is, but I still can't tell if it's just going to be like, wow, that cutscene was great. Then shoot a bunch of stuff. Cause that's fine. That's like Wolfenstein, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I hope there's like something a little bit more to it. Like that persistent world building weirdness in an environment. Cause that's what I like. That's the difference between BioShock and I don't know. There's what's the BioShock kind of S game that came out last year. That's
Atomic Heart.
Yeah. Like the difference there, like Atomic Heart, like you just kind of played through it like a fun, you know, like shootery shooter, you know, but like BioShock wasn't really like that to begin with. It was kind of like these areas were interconnected a little bit and you could go back and like get collectibles and, you know, Infinite kind of did that a little bit more. Like it just, there's just more to it. And I hope it ends up being like that.
Man, the highs of BioShock Infinite though, so good.
Yeah.
There was good parts of that game. The music was unbelievable.
That's another Troy Baker game.
Yeah, that's right. Had some lower lows than BioShock, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, do you want to do a racism or is that bad? And then it's like, yes, we're giving you a deep message. Like,
sure.
You know, whereas like BioShock,
look how good this still looks.
BioShock 1 and 2 like, actually kind of delivered on the promise of its philosophy a little bit more, in my opinion.
This is not a diss on Judas, but like, does Judas look any better than this? Like, this is just like, it looks great still. It's amazing.
Good.
It could be because they're so art focused, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the design is front and center instead of necessarily.
Well, maybe the face.
Well, that doesn't look so great.
Yeah, I think
but
it's
those
like,
environments look awesome.
I think like the main BioShock, the main character of BioShock, right, is its settings, and I think Rapture was just a much more interesting setting than
that's
I forget. I forget what it was called in Infinite.
The moment,
Columbia?
Sorry, this is a spoiler. This is a spoiler for the end of BioShock Infinite. That moment when you warp back into Rapture.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good.
I think, yeah, I think
it's a little, it was a little fan servicey though, because I think everybody expected it, but it wasn't pulled off terribly. It was great.
Yeah, the lighthouses. Yeah. And there's a DLC for this game that takes place all in Rapture again. And it's great.
Man, I want to play
Rapture.
Rapture is just such a insane setting for like the idea of like, we don't want to live here, so we're just going to go in the ocean and build a town. Like, what a stupid idea, but it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. What could go wrong?
It's so good. Leaks.
You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop.
Well, speaking of living under the ocean and leaks, we've got news that Dave the Diver is coming to PS5.
Nice.
That comes in April with free Godzilla DLC in May. So yes, I will. I haven't played Dave the Diver yet. I will absolutely play it, I guess, in April and May.
Cool.
The game will make you really hungry, so just be careful. Only play it after dinner.
Wait, I was the face model for that guy.
Have you all played Dave the Diver?
No, not yet.
Okay, so I'm the only one.
Can you eat Godzilla?
Am I making lizard sushi? Like, we're gonna find out. We'll find out together.
Because that's what the game is. Well, right? You fish under during the day, and then you run your sushi restaurant at night, right?
Right.
So yeah, it would seem like everything else in the ocean you're catching and carving up and serving to people.
Well, that raises a big question, though, because in the light, I just saw Godzilla Minus One, and I have to wonder now, is fish?
Right.
No, guys, Godzilla's going to be a customer at the restaurant.
Oh, okay. I mean, he's bigger than your average fish. I don't know if you could tell.
You're going to have to feed
him. He kind of comes out of the drink there.
There's like a weird thing in the new movie where he's preceded by this one type of mutant fish which you never get a really good look at. And that becomes like, whenever he shows up, there's like a fish with like, I don't know, like what is it supposed to be, Damon? Like a blow sack on it or something?
It's like a deep sea fish. Yeah, it's like, it's not... Yeah. It's something weird that lives
down. It doesn't register with me as a reference that I get. But like all these fish always appear, and then Godzilla comes up, always from the depths. He's from the bottom of the ocean, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But he has to come up very slowly.
Sounds like Godzilla Minus One was just a tease for the Dave the Diver DLC.
Yeah.
That was just possible. To get people hyped for this DLC.
He did have different color spikes, so maybe different Godzilla. Can't tell.
But Sam, I trust you enjoyed Godzilla Minus One.
I enjoyed it so much. I'm so happy you got to see it in the theater because it was the Godzilla parts are like genuinely jarring and scary at parts when he's just like being a big old cat and scratching his claws on buildings and killing a bunch of people. Godzilla is like super deadly in this movie. It's kind of crazy.
He's really angry.
Yeah, he's really angry. And if he's not wrecking up the place, his like beam is like basically a nuke in this. And it's just like just kills countless people. Well, I guess they count them up in the movie, but it's crazy. It's a really interesting movie. And I guess a lot of this is practical effects because it only cost $15 million. It looks like a giant CGI movie the whole time. I don't know how this movie was possible. Like, I want to see a making of this movie.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll include some of that on the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Great, though.
It was so good. Mark, have you seen this one? Have you seen Godzilla Minus One?
No.
Okay.
Have you seen any Godzilla movie?
I saw the 1999 Matthew Broderick one.
Oh, no.
Start there. It'll only get better.
And then I saw like when it first rebooted with like Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Tyler Johnson.
Oh my god!
Married.
When the music comes in at the end, oh my gosh. It's also just a very Japanese movie, which is awesome. Like, it's set in a really interesting, sad period. And like, the characters, as Damon said before, are all interesting. And like, the plot of like putting a stop to Godzilla is not what you think it would be. It's just like, it's so cool. I mean, it's a Godzilla movie. Like, don't overthink it, but it's really fun to watch. And I think it'll be fine to watch on TVs, but I'm so happy it got to theaters here. And maybe the black and white one would be cool too. I'd have to, I don't know if I could, I could sit through a black and white showing of it, but I bet it'll be beautiful.
Today, when we're recording this, is actually the last day it's in theaters.
RIP. I did not get to go see it because I had to take my daughter to see The Boy and the Heron.
How was that?
I like to think of myself as, I think I'm a smart person. I think I have high media literacy. I understand what things are about.
I think that about you too, Justin.
Thank you. And I don't understand anything that happened. My daughter's
Miyazaki can do that.
And like, you know, my daughter's seven. And so like, she's like, I'm kind of confused. Like, where are they and what are they? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where they are. I don't know who he's talking to. And I don't understand what's going on. I'm pretty sure all of it is like allegorical and is just going completely over my head. Like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, look, it's beautiful, right? Like, just there's no other company on earth that makes movies like this anymore. So visually, you know, stunning. It completely went over my head. I didn't hear
a lot of buzz once the movie came out. Like, the buzz was about the trailers, right? So I kind of suspected something was a little off there. And, you know, I read reviews and they seemed like, you know, I was like this big sign off for Miyazaki and stuff, which isn't true, right? And then, you know, they didn't really talk about anything other than like his artistry, which is like, okay, maybe that's what this is about.
It's very beautiful. And I'm glad I watched on the big screen.
Yeah,
that's not cool. Understand anything that was happening.
Yeah, I want to like see it at Alamo, but I don't think it played there.
While we're on the subject of movies, Mark, you were saying that you've just started your journey into the John Wick universe.
I did. I don't know what it was. I think it's they were just on the front page. They just got added to Netflix, and they were just there. And I was like, dude, we've never seen John Wick, and people say these movies are like pretty good. So we should probably fix that. So we watched the first one on Sunday. Yo, that movie blew me away how good it was.
Yeah.
That movie was great. And Keanu Reeves is just, I mean, he's just so good. He's just so good.
Agreed.
And it's got the dude from Game of Thrones. It's great. So that movie was really cool. And so then it was like the next day, it was Monday, and you know, we worked and we didn't even discuss it. We just got dinner together. We sat down and we watched the second one. We're like, we're just jumping in. So that's where we are right now. We've only watched the first two. But the second one ends with such a like cliffhanger that I cannot wait to watch the third one.
Yeah,
they're very serialized. They kind of go end to end.
Yep.
I'm curious to get your take on 3 and 4. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, I hear 4 is incredible. So, but I've also heard that 1 is the best one, which is like never like the greatest thing to hear when you're about to invest time in watching 4 movies to hear like the first one is the best it gets.
They get sillier. They get sillier the way Fast and Furious gets sillier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But they're all good. They're all totally worth watching, Mark. But
The second one kept it up. I thought the second one was. I thought it was great. Like I had not anyone told me, oh, the first one's the best one, I'd just be like, yep, these were both just really great movies. Let's keep it going. But no, I thought they're great. I don't know how Keanu Reeves moves the way he does. So in the second movie, that's when it becomes a very much like he's just an American James Bond, where he's like, it's almost like Kingsman, right? Is where he like goes, he's in Rome and he's like, looking at guns, he's looking at suits and stuff like that. And when he's doing the part with the guns, the way he's like flipping them around and looking at them, you can just tell he knows his shit. It's amazing how he moves those guns. And then there's a part where he's got the suit and it's like bulletproof and he's like running at a guy and he's just got the suit in front of his face. What a movie, man. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. I'm also playing Suicide Squad. That's less fun. Mm. That's, you know.
But before we get outside of extracurricular activity, because I want to hear about Suicide Squad, I watched all of Scavenger's Reign basically in one sitting.
Wow.
It's one of the, you know, coolest things I've ever consumed. Yeah. Just, it's amazing.
It's so good.
And I didn't know that it was not like a self-contained series. Like, it completely teases stuff. And I looked up, like, they have a sketch for other seasons if it gets renewed, which is not guaranteed. But it's unbelievable. And like, I think, Justin, you said it really well. It's just like, it thinks about life forms in like this really interesting way that, you know, has probably been in sci-fi that I just missed, but like seeing it all combined in one thing where it's just like, let's think about the craziest ways life could exist. It's awesome.
I think it has the weirdest aliens I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'll just leave that. That's kind of like my log line for the show. Like, yep. The most alien seeming aliens.
Yeah. And it's genuinely disturbing and weird and scary at parts. And the characters you want to get attached to, horrible things happen to. And yeah, it's just really great. It's just about like a crew being stranded on a planet, but they're not really a crew. They don't really know each other. They're not near each other. And they all are just trying to get back to this kind of ship. And like, it's just everything that could possibly happen to you badly biologically happens. Like, just people just, horrible things happen, and it's just amazing to watch. A lot of psychological stuff too, like this planet has a disproportionate amount of things that can control brains. So it has a lot of that Last of Us thing in it, where it's just like people getting kind of taken over and controlled in interesting ways, in three different ways.
All right, well, I still need to watch this. I will watch at least some of this by before next episode. All right. Moving on real quick. I put together a list. You know, I like retro gaming, classic gaming, and I wanted to get a sort of a list of what's coming this year, in terms of like remasters of old games or sequels to old games. So I have a little bit of a list here that I wanted to share. First of all, this month in February, we're getting the Tomb Raider 1-3 remastered, which I'm super excited about. Yeah. I know Justin was saying we should temper our expectations. I haven't played any of these games since they were first released, but I at least like the idea of revisiting them.
Well, and they're doing the remaster the right way. If you're not going to do a full-on remake, like, hey, the classic version is here and updated visuals are here, and like, they're being thoughtful about how they're doing it. And they're doing all the museum stuff, which is nice.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. Then there's the IREM Collection Volume 2, also in February. That's on the 20th. And this one include, Sam, are you aware of this one?
No. I don't know a lot of IREM games, but I'm sitting next to a very rare one right now called Moto Race USA, published by Williams.
Well, that one's not in this collection. This one has Gunforce, which was a Super Nintendo game.
I know Gunforce.
Gunforce 2, which is an arcade game, and then Air Duel, an arcade shooter.
Yeah.
And I've never played Gunforce, but like, looking at it, it looks cool.
Cool, yeah. Iron Maiden, Moon Patrol, and what's the gravity game? Metal Storm, which I really like.
Oh yeah, cool.
The one where you flip the robot upside down. And it had like parallax in the background. It's a great game.
What about Top Racer? That's also a Super Nintendo game.
I don't know Top Racer.
There's a Top Racer collection coming out in March.
Oh, good.
Top Racer, Top Racer 2, and then Top Racer 3000. And I don't know which platform that was on. But yeah, this is Top Racer.
Cool.
It's just like Outrun.
Yeah. It probably doesn't have as good a music as Outrun, though.
No.
And then speaking of
Super Nintendo, it has a little bit of 3D effects.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Then speaking of Super Nintendo games, Way Forward is remastering Clock Tower, the original Clock Tower.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Shinji Mikami game. Is that?
But I
that?
Only know Clock Tower is, I don't know it pre PS1. I only know it as like a Silent Hill. Like, I didn't ever know there was a 2D 16-bit Clock Tower, I don't think.
That was the original Clock Tower. It is a Super Famicom survival horror game. And it looks like, I've never played it, but it looks awesome.
And yeah, it's cool to be able to, I mean, just having a, you know, it's a bit word heavy game, I believe. So like, it would need to be translated to be remastered. So yeah. That, which is, sounds awesome. Yeah. It's very famous.
And then, there's a bunch of games that don't have any sort of release dates. R-Type Tactics 1 and 2 Cosmos is coming in the autumn.
What?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. We talked about it on the show. I mean, it's coming back to me now. That's such a clever idea for like a spin on R-Type.
And I've actually never played it. I think there's two of them, and it's the R-Type ships and enemies and universe, but it's turn-based combat, like, you know, Fire Emblem or Final Fantasy Tactics. I've actually never played them, even though this sounds super up my alley. But I think IGN gave these like a 7, so maybe that's why I wasn't didn't feel a need to play them at the time. But I don't know, maybe they've been able to improve them for the collection. And then, as we mentioned recently, Shadow of the Ninja Reborn is coming. Shadow of the Ninja is like a cult classic NES game that was a Ninja Gaiden-like that was actually very good. And they're remaking that one with a 16-bit style with a bunch of the staff of the original game.
Cool.
This is,
Well, I never played Shadow of the Ninja. Did you like this one back in the day?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I played it back in the day, but I've played it since.
Okay. The remake, like, the graphics look so cool.
Yeah. They made it look like more like a Super Nintendo game.
Or like Neo Geo, kind of.
Yeah. Like, it looks really, really good. And then there's Shantae Advance Risky Revolution, which is finally a Shantae game that was supposed to come out on Game Boy Advance, but never did. Ended up being canceled. Mm-hmm. And are digging that up and actually finishing it and putting it out. And these are just, the Shantae games are just really good Metroidvanias.
Yep.
WayForward's on your list twice.
Well, this is like what WayForward does, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp last year.
Mm-hmm.
One I'm super excited for is Truxton Extreme. Truxton was a Sega Genesis shooter. That's really good.
Yeah, Truxton rules.
Yeah. And they're just making a new one. Not in a 16-bit style. This has more of a modern look to it, but you'll find like the same mechanics and power-ups as you did in the original Truxton. Yeah, that skull.
Like that awesome. Skull.
Yeah. And then finally, the one that I rounded up here, which is out in March, Euphoria the Saga 2, the Sunsoft game, Sam. Euphoria never was released in the U.S., is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
But it's like good
platform.
I mean,
when it came to, I believe, the Wii shop, it was like a big deal.
And they're making a sequel to this obscure NES game, but not in an 8-bit style. It has like more modern graphics, but I think the gameplay is supposed to be the same. There you have it. 9 new retro games that at least I'm looking forward to checking out this year.
You know, something I pointed out to me recently is that everyone in the video game industry, including me, you know, uses the term retro incorrectly.
I know. Yeah. But
yeah, it should be a new game that looks like an old game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like, because I thought about putting this together as a feature, but I didn't know, how do you word it? What am I actually rounding up here?
Yeah. Well, but see, like something new that's made to look old would be retro. But when people say retro games for games coming out in the 80s or 90s or whatever, that would be vintage in every other industry, right? But like
or classic.
Yeah, or classic.
Before we get too far from it, I do want to hear Mark's take on Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. Oh gosh.
I'm super curious about it. I'm sorry to
Pal World is over. Pal World is over. Now it's about Suicide Squad.
Man. Well, let's just say Pal World.
For 1/100th the people.
Pal World, by far, the better of the two. Suicide Squad is, it's just not great. It's like I can't even fully nail down what's not great about it, because it's just there's so many things that are just, it's just so average, and I cannot believe that this is the Arkham people. Like I wouldn't believe it. Like all of the characters are really bad. I hate the boomerang guy, but like he's the one with the most personality, and he's the worst. The other ones just don't really have personality. Harley Quinn, like they kind of try with her. So the cutscenes are for one, they're very heavy-handed. They go on for an eternity. Like we're not talking like, okay, when's this cutscene going to be over? We're talking like, oh, a cutscene's happening. I'm going to put my controller down and like eat my lunch, because they are Kojima levels of long. And they do not earn it at all. They're just long for the sake of being long. And then once the cutscene's over and you get to play, then you're in for not a great time. The combat is just super boring. It's just like you're just shooting a gun, which is like, okay. And the gunplay is not great. It's just, you're just shooting a gun. Yeah. And like to get your health back, you shoot their legs and that makes them stagger, and then you go up and melee them, and you're like, cool, this is just peak video game design. But it sucks, because sometimes you'll need health and you'll shoot their legs, and then the stupid shark will come out of nowhere and he'll just kill the guy, and you're like, they didn't think about that, the fact that your bots are always going to be killing the people you're trying to farm for health. Stupid. Anyways, but between the missions, which are just like incredibly like boring. It's just like, hey, there's a point over there, run over there and protect it. And you're like, okay, cool. This is Call of Duty. It's like there's traversal, and the traversal is so bad. You go so slow in the game. And so I'm playing as Harley Quinn, which I'm hearing is like, oh, you're playing as the worst character. No, it's bullshit, man. You have four characters. They should all be decent. There shouldn't be a worse one. So, like, it's not my fault that I'm choosing to play as Harley Quinn and that's the worst character. It's your fault that she's the worst character. Anyways, she swings so slow. It's like Spider-Man on his first day, and he's, like, afraid of heights. Like, he swings so slow, and I don't know. It's just one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm done traversing. Now I have to do this combat. Oh, okay, the combat's over. Now I have to watch this incredibly cringe cutscene. The people defending this game, I don't know. You got low bars, man. I'm sorry. This game's not good.
Maybe this team was just making this on their lunch breaks, and then the real Batman game will be announced this year and come out very soon.
I mean, I think that's part of the way, like, why this, like, look, like, mediocre, you know, 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10, and our score isn't out yet, to be fair. But, like, you know, mediocre games come out all the time, but I think part of why this one is people are so agitated about it is the opportunity cost of, like, they made three amazing Batman games and then nothing for 9 years and then this. And I think that's the part that makes people so mad is not that, like, this kind of so-so game came out, but, like, but instead of, you know, one of the most beloved trilogies of all time, like a natural continuation of that.
It's like the whole idea was like when, what was the third Arkham game? Arkham Origins. Knight. And sorry, I meant the third one to actually come out. The one not made by Rocksteady, right? And some people didn't like Arkham Origins, but you're like, well, that's okay though, because this isn't Rocksteady, right? And then Arkham Knight came out and people liked it. I don't think people like it as much as City, but people still like it. If this were like a game that was just made by a Warner Brothers studio, but not Rocksteady, I think it would be, but I'm not even judging it off of like, this is Rocksteady. It's just not a good game. I don't care who made it. And what's weird about it is WB came out with an open world game last year that has not even a hint of microtransactions. Mm-hmm. And that game was great. Hogwarts Legacy. So
it's like, it was the best selling game of the year.
Right. And so it's like this game, you can 100. I mean, it's people are saying it's not egregious with its microtransactions. There shouldn't be microtransactions. This is a $70 game. Like, there just shouldn't be. But you go to the costume menu and everything's locked because you got to pay for it. And I don't know. I don't know what people are seeing in this game, and there's just way too many good games out right now.
Well, they haven't played it, so they're not seeing anything in it. It's just nonsense.
No, but the people that are playing it spent $100 on it, which is like, that's insane to me too.
That's not the defense force right now. We'll wait till next week to see what people are saying about it. How's Metropolis? Like, that's an interesting setting. You know, there's never been like a big 3D open world Metropolis aside from Superman 64, I guess.
It's like there's not a ton to do in the game. You're just kind of like the part I'm at. I'm only in chapter 3, but it's like you're just kind of going around the city. I will say, like, graphically, it's gorgeous. It looks great. Like, the character models in the cutscenes and then the city itself all look fantastic. And I'm playing it on PlayStation 5 and it runs really, really good. It makes me wonder why Arkham Knight, or is that what it was called? No, Gotham Knights. Why that game was locked at 30 FPS on as a PS5 only game. Because this game, in my opinion, looks better than Gotham Knights, and it runs beautifully. So, but yeah, the city's fine. It's an open
world. Did you do any
city.
Of the Riddler trophies?
No, because I've gotten to the part where I can be doing them, but I am going to save it for the guide. So I'm just not even making progress. I work on the guides team, everybody. So I play games a little differently. but they are there. Yeah. Anyways, that's my rant on.
You know, one thing I won't belabor the Rocksteady point anymore, but I will say, as a fan of the idea of killing the Justice League, I'm also a little pissed off that, like, they took that idea, because that is like the coolest idea. And like, and a game where you're like doing, like, a, you know, we've talked about this before, doing like a Shadow of Mordor, like Nemesis system with like taken over by Brainiac, you know, superheroes that are in like their own, you know, different regions where they're wreaking havoc and have minions and stuff. Like, that's so cool. That could be so cool to kill Batman and Superman and the Flash. Just like do that all in this like really neat, like, you know, carefully made game about like how difficult that would be, you know?
Yeah, and this, from what I understand, it's just
like, well, as long as you switch your ammo, you'll be fine. Yeah. That's all it took the whole time.
Also, we were very, like, kind of wondering about game length. Apparently, again, like, 9 years in development, this game can be beat in, like, a day. Like, it is very short.
Yeah, well, we beat it in a day. Multiple people on our staff.
One year per hour of storyline. Which, granted, there's a bunch of non-story gameplay in there and being a little, you know, reductive purpose. But like, yeah,
you can mainline it in a day. And then I'm not sure about the end game too much because I'm not
like, what's the service stuff going to be? Like, what are they going to add over the years?
I mean, I know that like they've already showed like you play as the Joker and stuff, but I don't know what the nature of like what those story expansions are. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not for me, man. Not good.
When this episode is out, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League will also be out. I will not be playing it because I'm playing another game with extremely long cutscenes. I've played 2 to 3 hours of Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and it's entirely cutscenes.
Yeah.
I've not actually played
it. I hear it has that crazy start.
And I was telling Nick Lamone, who played up a lot of it already, I was like, man, I was playing Like a Dragon for a couple hours last night, but it was all cutscenes. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's about 4 or 5 hours of cutscenes before you get to play the game.
Great.
How do you feel about that, Damon?
Well, it's like I like the previous game. I like these characters. The writing is good. So it's like it's not painful to sit through, but I do think it's a little egregious to make you sit through something longer than Killers of the Flower Moon before you can actually play the game.
I'm just trying to get a vibe on how much we should keep recommending Death Stranding, because Death Stranding is very much the same way. It's like four cutscenes.
I remember that from the beginning.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like I said, the characters are great. It's well written. It's fun, so I can handle it. But I'd rather be, since it's a video game, I'd rather be in control.
Mm-hmm. This game probably earns you watching its cutscenes, though.
Yeah.
It's like part of the Yakuza games. It's like the story couldn't take itself more seriously, and the melodrama, and you're invested in like, oh my god, like this drama, and then like everything surrounding the story couldn't be more silly and off the wall and insane. And it's this combination that shouldn't work, and yet somehow always does, game after game.
Yeah,
it's great.
Two to three hours of cutscenes. I'm not even in Hawaii yet. Still in Tokyo.
Wow. Damon, I have two quick shout outs.
Okay.
One is happy birthday, Susan. Thank you for being a GameScoop super fan. But second, can I talk about a game I'm playing real quick? It's
yes,
so cool.
Please.
I want to give a shout out to an indie game. It is called The Void Reigns Upon Her Heart. I actually think it's a Damie game. So it's like a mix of roguelike, like Binding of Isaac with Bullet Hell. It's a boss rush game. It's got 102 bosses in it. And each one sort of, it's got a really cool pixel art style. Each boss can be played on like level 1 difficulty where they, you know, barely shoot any bullets at you at all. And then up to level 10, level 12 difficulty where it's just completely insane. Just like, you know, stuff firing at you constantly. And so each run is randomized. Like you're going to fight 10 different bosses each time. And then in between each boss battle, you get a different power up. Like you move faster, your shots split into multiple shots. And so, you know, I'm just like, I'm playing it every single morning before work. I'm playing it every single evening after work. It's on Steam. It has 697 Steam achievements in it. Wow. And so like, I'm not even an achievement hunter by nature, but like, you know, each boss is like, they give you these challenges of like beat a boss by breaking off every single part of them. And so it's like these alternate methods of like winning and defeating things. Like it's great. Can't recommend it highly enough. Actually, I'm not even normally an early access game. This game's still in early access, but you know, I'm making an exception just because I'm completely addicted.
Well, also, its Steam reviews are overwhelmingly positive. But Justin, did you know this game is from 2018?
Yeah, it's been in early access, so it's a single developer, and he's been working on it for 5 or 6 years. And it's got that vibe of like like, again, like Binding of Isaac is like this, or like Stardew Valley is like this, where it's the best kind of scope creep that's like so generous to the player of like, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to add a quick play mode and a high score mode, and we're going to add like a bot, you know, like all these different playable characters and all these different branching story paths and 600 achievements and alternate unlocking methods of things. And like, it just always gives you more and more and more and more in like, you know, again, in a positive way, not a negative way. And so every evening I fire it up, I try to target, like, I think I want to try to get these 10 achievements for beating these bosses in these 10 different ways. And then that's what I do. It's great.
All right, that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Rodell, or Rodell. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And there's not much of an explanation this time, so let's let the questioning begin.
Did this game come out before Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time?
Yes.
When did that game come out? That's not a question.
2002, 2003.
2003, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Did this game come out in the 70s or 80s?
Yes.
Sweet.
Cool.
Whoa.
Is this game on the NES?
Yes.
Did this game have an arcade iteration?
Yes.
Nice.
Was this game developed in the United States?
No. That's five.
Was the company that made this game still around?
Yes.
Is it from after 1983?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, so is it a shooter or brawler?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, that interesting.
I'm not listening to the questions because I'm just distracted by the camera switching.
But now it's you.
I know, and I don't know why. I wasn't talking. I think he's trolling us. He doesn't have a B-roll to play, so he's like, you know what? I'm going to just trip these dudes up.
It's because he could be playing B-roll of this game.
It's because it was your turn. Your turn to ask something. That's what Jobert's saying.
Useless. He's like, Mark Medina wasn't out in the 70s and 80s.
it could be a driving game.
Yeah, could be a driving game. Not a shooter or a brawler, but an after 83. So it's like, it's not something, you know, weird like Qbert.
Mm-hmm. It might be, I'm thinking Sega or Capcom. The Capcom was all brawlers, right? I mean, Sega had some weird stuff though, like we talked about OutRun already. You know, there's stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The first driving game, not racing game. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Do you drive a car in this game? Or wait. Oh, okay. Too late. Thank you for answering. I was gonna rephrase to drive anything.
Drive anything.
Yeah, it's probably fine. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be so mad. I'm gonna be so mad if it's Cobra Triangle.
How about this? Is this a two-player game?
No, that's 10.
Arcade, NES, single-player,
arcade game.
Yeah, but not
that's pretty unusual.
Not a brawler. Would you call Punch Out a brawler? Or I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a Nintendo game. You're totally right. Yeah. Arm wrestling or. Now, but it came out on NES. So, and like, that's a little bit of a stretch to say Punch Out came out on NES because it was Mike Tyson's Punch Out, different game. Yeah,
but then they did. There was a version that had Mr. Dream at the end instead.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But just not the same as it doesn't have the wireframe Little Joe or anything.
No, like yeah, it is different. It's not a port.
Was this a Nintendo or Sega game?
No.
Uh oh. But the company's still around. Not a shooter. So that eliminates.
So Capcom, probably?
Well, I mean,
Konami, Hudson. You know, no, they're not around. Sorry,
could be Bomberman. That's not a shooter or a brawler, or a driving game.
Yeah, it's kind of puzzly, right?
But it's not.
It could be a Taito game. There's a lot of Taito games from that time.
But it is.
Oh, what about Bubble Bobble?
It's one player. Bubble Bobble's two player, right? But that's
famously, yeah.
Yeah,
one player.
That's a good. Is Bubble Bobble in the arcade? I only know it as an NES game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Is the cabinet cool?
No, it's I think it's only a conversion kit. So you're going to get a painted black asteroids machine every time.
What was that? What was that dragon game? And like in the arcade, it was like Dragon Slayer. What was it?
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer, but that was developed in the United States. Oh, yeah, okay. Cinematronics.
Oh boy, we should be able to get this. The developer is still around. Is this game?
Well, what about like?
Is this game part of a series that's been around through recent times?
How recent is recent?
But, I don't know, man. Within the last decade.
No.
So no, it's not Metal Slug.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's Contra.
Yeah, but that's a I would call that a shooting game. I don't know what I would call that.
Yeah, that's true. It's also two-player always.
Also two-player, yeah. Man.
I kind of want to know if it's like a sci-fi or military or fantasy game.
Yeah, can't be that military though, right? If you're not shooting.
What if it's Rygar?
Ooh, that's pretty good. I like that.
Came out in both.
Or
was but kind of a brawler, but kind of more in an action game.
I wouldn't call it.
There's also a bunch of ninja games, like a lot of them.
Yeah, and
like it was all ninja games,
but not Ninja Turtles because that is a brawler.
Yeah. Well, we could ask if it's based on a license.
Yeah,
I don't know if that would help us though. It doesn't really sound like it is.
I think it might be Rygar. I think that's pretty good. It's helpful. Like I'm having trouble picturing. Like is it like a side scrolling viewpoint? Yeah.
I mean, I kind of call that a brawler. Though. That's what's kind of confusing. We could ask just if it's a fantasy game.
Sure,
because that's a fantasy game. Is this a fantasy game?
No.
Oh. Well, it's not Rygar.
What if it's like the first Street Fighter? But that one's single player, right?
That's a good. That'd be weird. That'd be a weird one.
I don't think that's on NES. I think that was on Sega.
Well, Street Fighter 2049 is definitely on NES, but the Street Fighter 1 in the arcade is actually a two-player game with big buttons, like big buttons you can punch. So that's probably not what it is. Did we ask about Capcom yet?
No.
I think it would help if we just knew if it was straight up Capcom, but we could include something else in there.
We haven't asked about
Nintendo. That probably wouldn't help.
It might help. We don't know if it's Nintendo, although we eliminated Punch-Out. I think. Did we? Or did we not?
Not really. We didn't really eliminate
it. Is this a Nintendo or Capcom
game? Sorry. Hold on. Asked if it was Nintendo or Sega.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And the answer was no? So should we do Capcom Konami? Is that helpful?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's pair them up.
Is it a Capcom or Konami game?
Yes.
How many questions do we have?
You're at 14.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
no.
Not bad. Oh, it's not bad.
Probably just narrow it down. You can with just one question, that just to like, you know.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Is this a Konami game?
Yeah, there you go.
Is it a Konami game?
Yeah.
Question? No.
So Capcom.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So there are some, there's a lot of licensed Capcom games, but they weren't really in the arcade too often, but we got our shoot 'em games. I'm trying to think what came home, like Strider?
Yeah, I'm really hung up on it being single player. Strider's a pretty good guess. It's a ninja game. It'd be helpful to know how many other ninja games did they make?
Was Mega Man ever in a arcade?
It was, but I don't think it came. There was kind of fighter Mega Man games in the 90s. Bionic Commando is another one, which we always talk about.
That's a pretty good one.
Do you shoot a gun in this game?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not Strider.
Is the gun your arm?
No, it's not a Bionic Commando. Your arm is just a Extendo arm.
No, I meant because what if it's Mega Man? He's got the Mega Buster.
Do you play as a Bionic character in this game?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to ask?
Still could be Mega Man.
Do you want to ask?
Still could be Mega Man.
You should ask if he can't jump.
It still could be Strider. Can you jump in this game?
No, sir, you cannot.
Oh.
Yay. Is it Bionic Commando?
Bionic Commando, question 19. Yeah. I was worried.
I've never actually played the arcade version of this. I kind of want to check it out.
Wait, you can't jump in this game? Oh, no. You're Spider-Man.
You cannot jump. Yeah. You cannot jump.
Yeah, the arcade is very different. It has a much more like kiddie cartoonish visual style, and it's just linear. Right. So you just go from stage to stage. There's no like overworld map where you can go wherever you want.
Okay.
But it's not bad.
Yeah.
Cool.
Incredible game.
Yep.
Yeah. I can just hear the music.
This looks like it has better Harley Quinn traversal than Suicide Squad.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Like, this is what it really looks good like, traversal. But it's just worse than Suicide Squad.
It's a very late game level that we're seeing here that you would never see in Bionic Commando. Oh, I love spoilers. The bases.
Wait, and have you not, are you aware of like what happens at the end of this game, Mark? And who like who the villain is? And
let's show it. Show,
yeah, okay. Tell me.
Okay. So, Gilbert, Mark, Bionic Commando.
Gilbert, Mark, pull quick, up. Mark. Pull up. Hitler's this head is exploding in Bionic. Oh.
Darn it. Remember, this is for adults only.
I was gonna ask Mark the quick speed round three questions who he thinks the final boss is gonna be. Because
I might have got there.
The Mark in, yeah, in Japan, this game is straight up called Hitler's Return.
Wow.
And then for the US release, they scrubbed all of the like Nazi imagery out of it and the wording, but they just left Hitler in there.
And they call him Master D.
Yeah, he's Master D.
Wait, why? What the
I think, well, first of all, they would have done that because they had to in Europe. Mm. Because they would only, Nintendo of Europe would have distributed in Germany. They're not allowed to have that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they probably only wanted to localize it once. I would assume that's probably why it is. Mm. Is that they would localize it for the West, basically.
That's and, so funny.
Because, you know, that's you couldn't great. Choose a language on NES games. You were like, you're going to get English or Japanese, right?
Right.
Okay, here it is. Here it is,
there
Mark.
He is.
And sorry, listeners, we're going to watch Hitler's face explode in Bionic Commando here. And Mark is going to see this for the first time.
Well,
hopefully we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, however, if this is the whole fight, we're not going to get to it. Because you still have to do that jump in the end. Do you know if you miss that shot, what happens? I've always made it. You jump off the side of this thing.
Yeah.
And then you have to shoot him.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know what happens if you miss that shot. You must be able to miss it.
Is he driving this spaceship? Like, is he inside? Is he piloting it?
I think he's like a cryogenic head.
The moral of the story is if you get a shot at Hitler, you best not miss.
Well, that's great. This is something. I want to be like, is this where Wolfenstein got its? But I don't know when the first Wolfenstein came out. So
yeah, scrub ahead. Okay.
Here we go.
Here it is. This is an NES game, Mark.
Oh my gosh!
It's so good.
that's worse than the hamster in the microwave.
Oh, much
that's
worse.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
I was 11. 10 or 11, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
David's just throwing up and just, yes!
So good.
A gore hound was born.
So gory.
and then, of course, the famous...
Oh, and then you still have to escape.
This base will explode in 60 seconds.
Explode him.
It's gonna explode, right? Dude.
Gotta get out of there. It's gonna explode.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the remake of this Bionic Commando Rearmed is one of my favorite games ever. I just love it. It's so good.
That was really good.
And original's great too.
Yeah, so they remade it in the Xbox 360 era and PS3, Mark, and it's great. And then they made a Bionic Commando Rearmed 2, and they effed the whole thing up because they gave you a jump button. We don't want a jump button in here.
No. They betrayed its design. Well, you can do. Still have the original.
It's funny that you were talking about, you were bringing up Punch-Out a couple times, because I think both Bionic Commando and Punch-Out are examples of arcade ports that were better than the arcade versions.
Yeah, the NES version nailed it in those. Isn't that strange?
Whoa, that looks
like, what
great,
a time.
Though.
Yeah,
that looks super
and so,
fun.
This is Rearmed.
And so is Rygar.
You're right, Rygar.
Rygar famously became a Zelda-like when it came home. Yeah. And in the arcade, you just kind of walk left to right and hit stuff with your shields.
Yep. All right, nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion, Rodell. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Sam, can I look forward to sitting here in person with you next week?
Yeah, I'll be in the Los Angeles studio, and I'm literally looking forward to it. We'll find some that stash of GBA and Game Boy Color games in place.
Damn, now I want to go.
Well, come on. I'm not stopping you. Come on.
Think about it.
Drive on in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Mark. Thank you to Jobert, working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.